This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
You can join us online, of course, over at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features that we have there for you. They're totally free. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. Joining you here in the studio tonight, you've got me, Ian,
Jay,
and Joa.
And you can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com, and you can do that there. We have our own social media platform at social.freetalklive.com. That's where you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners, as well as some of the hosts of the show. And you'll have more freedom to express yourself there than you would, for instance, on some of those big tech, big media platforms. So head over to social.freetalklive.com. As we continue a little bit more from the story here, the Adams County Sheriff's Office in Ohio raided Joseph Foreman's home last year. He is also known as Afro Man. He's a performance artist. He's a musician. And he took some of the video footage from the raid, because he has surveillance cameras both inside and outside of his home. And he released that footage in the form of what it seems like maybe three music videos, because I found a third one. As well, which is entitled "Why You Disconnecting My Video Camera." He also had the two that we mentioned before, "Lemon Pound Cake" and "Will You Help Me Repair My Door." A little bit more from the story. So what's happening here is just the fact that he was raided and then used the footage in his videos is amusing and you know, worthy of discussion enough. But now the story has gone. I mean, it's outrageous, of course, what they did to him. But now it's even more outrageous what they're doing to him now, which is seven of the officers are suing Afro Man in a civil case, saying that they suffered from, quote, emotional distress, embarrassment, ridicule, loss of reputation, and humiliation. You know, all the things that an individual who gets their home broken into by an armed gang of thugs who then spreads all kinds of lies about you in, yeah, you know, public media. That's what Afro Man and his family went through, likely. But they don't get to sue the police for those things, for doing them to them in the raid.
The city of Keene did a sort of similar thing with you guys, the Robin Hood, years ago. They had spent all kind of, I don't know, what, $1 million trying to sue you or something crazy.
God knows how much taxpayer money they spent on that case.
Went all the way. They appealed it, and they kept on losing. They kept on appealing it right up to the top, from what I understand.
And then they lost the Supreme Court.
And one of the things that was
they had their butt hurt because somebody was paying meters in front of them while they, you know, preventing them from writing tickets.
But one of the things that they were said that was said in there, that the meter reader was like basically saying that they were just emotionally distressed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, claimed.
And then one of the things for the job of being a police officer, including a meter reader, was to be able to deal with people that were going to be mad at you and yelling and screaming at you because you
gave
them tickets.
Grow some skin, right?
And it basically, you had to sort of, the job description was you had to be somewhat thick-skinned. And yes, when people do bad things, like, you know, a gang, organized gang, this government gang, between the judiciary and the cops, and, you know, they go raid and destroy someone's house, yes, their reputation should be tarnished. So the guy who owns a local coffee shop, when those cops walk in, can say, get out of my shop. I don't want you here. We need to know who the bad actors are. And these videos that Afro Man's done, I mean, are awesome. Yes, it's a great public service. It's exposing the fraud. And, yes, their reputation should be damaged because they have poor reputations.
What they did was embarrassing, ridiculous, and it was an absolutely distressing thing on Afro Man's family. So shame on these
people.
Like
if any position, doesn't have to be public, it could be private too, if it says, you know, you might get ridiculed, you probably shouldn't take that job. You probably should have a moral obligation not to take it.
Yeah, you guys don't have a right to privacy, number one, inside somebody else's home. So that one's going to be out the window. But the difference between this and one of the differences between this and the Robin Hood case was they weren't claiming in the Robin Hood case that we owed them money for whatever damages.
Right, right.
They were just saying that, well, they did want to get into, they ended up coming after us for what they wanted was like lawyer's fees, and they wanted money to shore up the state's parking fund or the city's parking fund. And they ended up getting rejected on all that. But here, the plaintiffs say they're entitled to all of Afro Man's profits from the use of, or from his use of their personas. That includes, according to the complaint, proceeds from the songs, music videos, live event tickets, as well as the promotion of Foreman's Afro Man brand, under which he sells beer, marijuana, t-shirts, and other merchandise.
Man, I want to go buy some.
They're asking for an injunction to take down all videos and posts containing their personas. Cincinnati attorney Robert Klinger filed the suit in Adams County Common Pleas Court March 13th against Afro Man, his recording firm, and a Texas-based media distribution company. Not every law enforcement officer involved in the raid has been named as a plaintiff, so apparently some of them decided they didn't want to take it this far, but seven of them did. Foreman Wednesday posted to Instagram, promising to countersue, quote, for the undeniable damage this had on my clients, family, career, and property. Sheriff's Office conducted the armed raid of Foreman's Adams County home last August, and the article here from Fox19.com includes some of the body cam video, apparently, as well. Sheriff's deputies acted on a warrant claiming probable cause existed that drugs and drug paraphernalia would be found on Foreman's property and that trafficking and kidnapping had taken place there, which is why Afro Man in his videos and some of the lyrics actually refers to the alleged the kidnapping allegations and asks in the lyrics to the police, like, did you find any kidnapping victims in my closet or in my my coat pockets?
Coat pockets.
Because they're looking through his coat pockets. Quote, they come up here with AR-15s, traumatized my kids, destroyed my property, kicked in my door, ripped up and destroyed my camera system, he said in August, because, yeah, they did unplug his cameras and maybe did worse to it when they found that device.
Like molested it or something? Yeah.
Who knows? They didn't record that part. The suspicions turned out to be unfounded. Adams County Prosecutor's Office said the raid failed to turn up probative criminal evidence. According to their attorney, no charges were filed. So they destroyed his door. They raided his home. They destroyed probably plenty of other property in his house. Apparently broke some glass. Maybe stole his cake as well. And then they didn't even charge him with anything. Months after the raid, Foreman published two songs referencing it. Lemon Pound Cake and Will You Help Me Repair My Door? Of course, the answer is always no. It doesn't matter if they didn't charge him. They're not going to come in and hire a repair guy and fix the stuff that they broke. They're going to say, well, we thought we had it on good word that you were doing these things, and so we did the best we could on the best job that we possibly could, and so we're not responsible for breaking your crap.
Yeah, because they're irresponsible. I just can't stress that enough. This is classic irresponsibility all the way around.
Yeah, it's a perfect example of how irresponsible they are. Not only are they claiming to be, you know, not responsible for destroying this man's home, but they're further suing him now, saying that he's responsible for their difficulties they're suffering of supposed embarrassment, ridicule, loss of... I mean, it's the most pussy thing you could possibly do. These big tough cops and how badass they are, and you know they're all about that.
Yeah,
publicly.
Wow.
Right.
You were
this
in
is a big cry
video.
Baby. Yep. Big cry babies.
I really hope that all these cops involved, when people come across them, they say, "Yeah, you're a POS for, you know, doing what you did to Afro Man." I saw the video, and you know,
let's name names.
Yeah,
Sean D. Cooley, Justin Cooley, Michael D. Estep, Sean D. Grooms, Brian Newland, Lisa Phillips, and Randolph L. Walters Jr. Those are the seven plaintiffs in the Court of Common Pleas case against Afro Man and his associates.
They need to smoke a little bit of weed and just forget about it.
Is that a line from his song or something?
No, I'm just saying.
They probably need to do like ayahuasca. They're really far gone if they're, you know,
they're not in touch with
kind of cops.
Humanity.
I mean, they're just, you know,
The footage shows the faces of the seven plaintiffs. According to the lawsuit, the complaint says Foreman, quote, also created dozens of videos and images of plaintiffs' personas and posted them on various social media platforms. In fact, in one of his videos, you can see he's got a T-shirt on with images from the raid with the cops' faces on it.
I hope he's selling all this swag.
I bet you he is.
Oh, is that why they're sending the image? It's because he's made it on a shirt.
But he put it on video, he put it on shirts,
he put it on social media. I'm buying it right now.
The complaint says he made all these things and put it up on Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram. The complaint specifically cites seven Instagram posts, all of which have been deleted. In one post, according to the complaint, Foreman allegedly congratulated a law enforcement officer involved in the raid, saying, quote, thank you for getting me 5.4 million hits on TikTok. I couldn't have done it without you, obviously. Congratulations again. You're famous for all the wrong reasons. Unquote. The plaintiffs say they've been subjected to ridicule by people who saw Foreman's posts, and that the posts have made it, quote, more dangerous for them to carry out their duties. They also claim they've endured death threats by anonymous members of the public who've seen some of the defendants' above-described postings. The complaint claims Foreman continuously used the plaintiffs' personas without their prior consent in a manner that is willful, wanton, malicious, and shows conscious or reckless disregard for their rights. This is going to be a case to follow. I hope that we will continue to receive updates on this because they need to get shut the F down in this case, these cops. They have absolutely no right to their images if they're going to go parade around and try to destroy a man's life, an innocent man's life here. Not, they couldn't even find weed to charge him with, apparently. I don't know. Is weed legal in Ohio? Is that
no.
One? Yeah, right? So if they found an ounce of weed in Afro Man's house, you know they'd be touting that around. They'd have put handcuffs on him. And they'd have thrown him in the clink.
I'm surprised they didn't plant any.
Me too.
I mean, really, because that's like a
piece of scum.
Yeah, it's a normal thing for them to do.
Yeah. So I definitely want to keep an eye on this case. This guy, again, totally innocent of what happened to him here. And he decided he was going to make the best of a bad situation by taking his footage that he recorded of these men and women in his own home, going pawing through all his things, and these people think they have a right to privacy. They think.
Yeah, he was just videotaping trespassers.
Right.
And it was clear of trespass now that they didn't find anything. I mean, and this is another thing, too. I mean, people should locally start researching what's called the judicial pension fund or your state judicial pension system. And you're going to see that. And you might have to have an accountant, like, actually, go through this a little bit, or somebody who understands, like, you know, the lingo and these spreadsheets and stuff. But you're basically going to see that there's, like, all kinds of incentives for the judiciary to extract money in all forms.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a guy who, Jeff Younger is his name. He'd be a good one to look up. He was on Tim Cast a while ago. Anyways, he's doing a custody battle. His wife is trying to transition his son. They took off to California. And what he found during this and some of his public records requests is that the state of Texas, for example, judicial pension fund gets a kickback from the federal government, a 66% kickback of each time they award child support. So if they award $1,000 in child support, they get $660 each time from the federal government.
Wow.
There's also cases where with eminent domain taking the money, for example, and if people get a bunch of cash, where the judicial retirement fund gets a percentage of this money, and it goes to cop pensions.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just looking at somebody's pensions. They all have dropped massively. Like, all these pension funds just across the board have dropped, but especially, like,
they should be abolished entirely.
Oh, they should be abolished entirely, but the problem is with municipal pensions, with public employee pensions.
Oh, they're going to fight tooth and nail.
They are funded first and foremost when the taxes are collected.
Mm-hmm.
So all they have to do is when these pensions don't perform, like, they're guaranteed to perform at, like, 7 or 8%, which is, like, sort of unrealistic except for in a very, very, like, you know, when the market's rising. And now it's like going, it's definitely falling.
That's another thing needs to happen. In addition to making it so 91A or the Freedom of Information Act requests are completely unrestricted, they also ought to abolish pensions entirely.
Yep.
Because if these guys want to save for retirement, let them save for retirement on their own.
And government employees don't. Most of the people I know that are government employees are. And you can sort of tell, you see like these 30-year-old kids, they got a really sweet house, they're driving like a brand new pickup truck, they got snowmobiles, they got bass boats, they got four-wheelers.
They're taken care of.
They got Harleys, the wife's driving a brand new car, and they're like, oh, I don't have to save for retirement because I have a
taxpayers' golden parachute
retirement fund because,
90%.
When the pension fails, they just point guns at taxpayers, and this is why I want to encourage taxpayers to do right-to-know requests with their local city tax collector. What evidence do you, what is the process and procedure that makes me liable for the pension of the Fraternal Order of Police, for the pension of the teachers association that your town contracts with? Start making these guys answer some questions.
If you want to comment, you can join the show here, 603-283-6160. Joey, you're no stranger to holding the police accountable. That's one of the things that you do regularly on your channel, which is called Breaking the Flaw. You can find him on Odyssey and sometimes on YouTube when they haven't banned him. But check him out.
I'm back on.
For now. So are we. Well, I mean, our channel hasn't been taken down, but we can't stream right now because they might take us down if we get one more strike. Anyway, you've been following a lot of these First Amendment auditors. You're one of them. And so you guys kind of have this community of First Amendment auditors that kind of pays attention to what's going on.
We all kind of help each other.
With everybody else. And there's one guy in particular, James Freeman, who you talk about a lot. He's down in, is it New Mexico?
Yep.
What's going on down there? There's an update on he's gotten into some hot water, or what's
well,
happening?
Well, he was defending a lady that got arrested for not wearing a mask in court.
Oh, in court?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And they're still pushing for that, apparently.
Amazing.
And so she was arrested, and James Freeman went out and confronted the sheriff that made the arrest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's like, oh, that's what the law says. I have to do it. But at the same time, that sheriff went to the police department and said, we're not arresting anyone for not wearing a mask. So he, like, informed all the officers not to do it.
But they did it anyway.
Yeah, they did it anyway. Well, that was, you know, that arrest would happen before he informed them.
Okay.
But, you know.
And this is recent.
It happened yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you would think, okay, in 2020, that would be more likely, but here it is, 2023.
Yeah.
They're still threatening people for this.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, like, you really want to drag this lady through the courts just because she didn't wear a mask? It's so ridiculous.
And what's the charge?
A good question.
Is it an ordinance violation?
I don't know.
Or is it a court rule? Is it contempt?
I guess it would be contempt. This is my best guess, but I need to watch his longer video, and I suggest everyone else go to James Freeman to check it out. He's done several videos on it.
Was he there when the arrest actually happened?
I don't think so.
Okay,
I think
he heard about
it, and then I think he got the lady bailed out.
I'm pretty sure New Mexico is a very blue state.
It is.
There was a little article I had read, I don't know, about a week ago. There's like, how come nobody's moving to New Mexico, but everybody's moving to Arizona?
I think some people are moving to New Mexico from, like, California.
Not compared to moving to Arizona.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like, the amount of people moving to Arizona is, like, insane, especially leaving California. And a lot of people that are leaving California are conservatives, and, you know, very few of them are going to New Mexico.
No, I was thinking liberals would be going from California to New Mexico.
But even they don't want to go to New Mexico because New Mexico's got such a, like, poor reputation.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much drug abuse. Just like the joke, it's not really a joke, but I went to New Mexico years ago, and they were like, oh, the joke is, and I heard this in Arizona too, but it was the government's killing Indians again. And I'm like, oh, what do you mean? And they're like, yeah, they give them $25,000 when they turn 18, and then they drink themselves to death.
Mm.
And with the welfare state in New Mexico compared to, like, you know, Arizona, from what I understand, is it sort of like California's welfare state. The reason that there is these massive, you know, just homeless people doing drugs all over, you know, in the big cities in California.
Right. It's like when you're poor, that's all you know is the drug. And then when you get handed $25,000, what do? You go and buy drugs.
Well, in California, they're handed, you know, basically an EBT card, and they get a cash stipend or whatever. I don't, you know, I've seen all different things and heard all different numbers, but they get, you know, several hundred dollars a month. And then the, you know, so these government-sponsored food, whatever, are showing up and feeding them three meals a day. And there's even interviews of, like, a lady, she's like, well, this is great. I get money every month, and
wow,
I can just get high, go eat breakfast, get high, go eat lunch, get high. They got porta-potties for us right over there. It's just this big drug encampment, like in San Francisco or something. And, so New Mexico is kind of like that. And they're still, like, that's ridiculous.
It is.
Arresting someone for not wearing a mask. Have they arrested anyone else for not wearing a mask? Because I'm sure she's not the only one.
And you know, let me just, I'm not going to take a guess, is that she was being defiant on it. Right.
For her.
Right, no. Yeah, absolutely. They should all be. But because her defiance and, like, you're standing up to the judge or the court and all this stuff, now they're going to throw the book at you. You know what I mean?
That was my particular case. The reason they pressed charges of child endangerment against my wife is because we were not interested in complying with DCYF. And we just basically did that based on an internet search of DCYF settlements, New Hampshire DCYF settlements. And I counted like $100 million in settlements that New Hampshire DCYF paid out. And then you go look at their reviews on Google. They have all these people are like, they got like a 1 point something. And there's one review, 5 stars. Oh, they got me a baby. Somebody put on
they
there.
Stole me a baby.
Yeah, right. I was able to adopt or something. They did great. They did a great job. That was like, that was the only positive review.
Of course.
And all the reviews are like, I wish I could leave them a zero, but I have to leave them a one.
Right.
And, all this stuff. And
same stuff with government courts, too, if you ever want.
Same thing with government courts. Same thing with the towing companies that have the contract to work with the police.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with, any of these essentially places where, irresponsibility is promoted and encouraged because these people don't get any kind of, nobody stays after school for being irresponsible and for having bad behavior. They all get essentially rewarded for it.
I want to go to TJ the Spy. He's on the line on our SIP line at sip.freetalklive.com. You can go there to learn how to get connected to this line. Go ahead, TJ. You're on Free Talk Live.
Greetings, everyone. It's so wonderful to be on Free Talk Live, and I wanted to tell everyone that this Monday is a very special day. It is Ross Ulbricht's birthday. So I'm working on trying to get a pizza to him, and I thought, if only I had some leverage. A pizza, that's what he wanted, and,
I don't think they left you send food into federal prison or any prison for that matter.
Where there's a mordida, there's a way. God bless the Mexican system of law enforcement. I always said, that's the thing. I got to get some juice or some.
I want to know how you think you're going to get a pizza into federal prison. Hang on a second, because he's not in a Mexican prison. But we're talking about Ross Ulbricht. He's the founder, the creator of the Silk Road, the world's first underground drug and free marketplace. And he's been sitting in prison now for, I think, 10 years.
Maybe there's drone deliveries nearby.
He's into his 10th year. There's more coming up in moments. You can join us here. This is Free Talk Live.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. One Republican lawmaker is taking it to the CEO of TikTok.
You damn well know that you cannot protect the data and security of this committee or the 150 million users of your app.
Kat Kamak of Florida made the remark while addressing CEO Shou Chu. While the committee focused on concerns about TikTok's connection to the Chinese Communist Party, the Manhattan District Attorney's pushing back against demands that he testify about the probe into former President Trump. In a letter to top House Republicans, Alvin Bragg said their recent letter to him was an abnormal inquiry into a pending local prosecution. He said the letter came after Trump posted on his social media site that he would be arrested on Tuesday. 100 officers at Monmouth University were looking for a possible gunman on campus. Turned out it was a woman running with a curling iron in her hand. Dave Collins, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight is Ian,
Jay,
and Joa. We're talking with you. If you call in, you can bring up absolutely anything you want. There's going to be a debate coming up here this weekend in New Hampshire that you guys wanted to promote. I know it will be recorded for those of you who won't be able to physically make it up here to see. And I'm looking forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Hopefully I can go and attend it. But the number here is 603-283-6160. We're going to go back to your calls and thoughts. We have TJ the Spy on the line here. TJ, you're pointing out that coming up, what did you say, Monday? It's Ross Ulbricht's birthday?
Monday, the 27th, is Ross Ulbricht's birthday.
And just give our listeners a little recap on Ross. Who is Ross Ulbricht?
Ross Ulbricht is a first-time offender. He was convicted of conspiracy to run a drug trafficking website called the Silk Road, and it was shut down, and they were arrested him and sentenced him to double life plus 40 years, which is more than, you know, a lot of murderers get.
Right. And for running a website.
He didn't actually sell the drugs. He ran the website where the drugs were sold. So under the conspiracy laws, it made him guilty of the kingpin statute, and that's why he's doing life.
Insane.
Anyway, I'm very good friends with his mom, Lynn, as are you, and you said that Ross was an inspiration for you to do your Bitcoin activism, and I was just thinking, like, the one thing on the Twitter feed that he has, he wanted a pepperoni pizza, and I thought, what better gift to give than some you know, pizza pies, and all I need is like an FBI agent to like wave their badge. And so I have to have some good graces, some favors, some, I don't know what you call it, you know, some grease.
You're saying you want an FBI agent to deliver a pizza to Ross Ulbricht on your behalf? It's pretty,
Yes, I think, and I have the perfect one. Katie Thebold, the one who authorized, yes, the one who, that's Thibault.
Uh-huh.
And if you, Thibault. And if you want the VIN number and license plate number to her car, just let me know. Because you know how I memorize numbers, like pi is 3.14159265355. Mm-hmm. But I can do the same thing with VIN numbers to cars or license plates. So,
this is, by the way, Katie Thebault is the head agent that prosecuted the Crypto Six. That's who, for listeners that don't know that particular name. I don't know if you could trust her to hold off on a pizza, man. I mean, she's a hefty lady. She's probably
I don't know. I mean,
just fire one for
US
herself.
Attorney, I just need considering I was raided by the FBI with an invalid search warrant, had my stuff stolen and kept for 4 years. And the thing that irks me most is that when the warrant was declared invalid, I had to sue the FBI and pay $402 and write a 6-page essay called A Motion for Equitable Relief under Rule 41G to get my own stuff that the FBI stole back. So I paid to be robbed in the form of I paid the FBI agent salaries, you know, for whatever they charge per hour.
Yep.
And we had 15 agents times 4 hours and 60 hours of wasted time there. And then I had to spend like 20 hours writing the lawsuit, and it took $402. So I paid to be robbed and I paid to get my stuff back.
Yeah, that sounds like their system.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's, by the way, you're stimulating the legal system as well. The appellate lawyers are going to have a field day.
Oh, you're talking about with the Crypto 6 case?
Yes, the Crypto 6 case, yes.
Well, my plan is to just keep Sisti on. He may ask another attorney to help out with it, but, you know, he knows.
Yeah, because appellate law is very complicated, and that's, you know, just in the first raid, it was like 10,000 pages in USA v. Levin, where they declared the warrant invalid. And I said, surely there has to be an easier way than reading 10,000 pages, literally 10,000. Well, it may not be 10,000. It was probably more like 1,500 or, you know, 2,000 pages. But it was a very lengthy.
That was a court opinion that was that long?
That's the one that invalidated the warrant from the first raid. Yes,
wow.
It was
crazy.
USA v. Levin. And so you have the trial transcripts, the briefs, the cross briefs, the replies, oral arguments, motions, and at the appellate level, it's just insane.
My attorney, Mark Sisti, says he's had a case at the appellate court in Boston for more than a year, and it's still awaiting. I don't remember if it was awaiting its hearing or awaiting its ruling, but it's still waiting for whatever it is that's supposed to happen next. So it's going to be slow.
You know, I'm full of numbers, and so if I have immunity from prosecution, so I can go up to, you know, Seth Afram and Georgiana McDonald and confess to any crime and not be prosecuted. So
you
it's
think
quite
you've
liberating.
Got, they gave you immunity from all future prosecution? I doubt that,
no,
TJ.
No. Like past crimes. So I have what's called use immunity, meaning they whatever I say to them cannot be used against me. But if they independently can verify it through alternative means, they may, you know, it's not transactional immunity, which is what
you're
I want.
You're probably better off not talking to prosecutors in general. It's probably not good for your health.
Well, for $325 an hour with a $5,000 retainer, Paul Garrity will happily have you not talk to the U.S. attorneys, you know, so it's
Maybe instead of getting a pizza for Ross Ulbricht, people could write him letters. That might be something that the average person.
Oh, definitely. And he definitely appreciates those, as does his mom. But, you know, I'm on a mission to get him something special. So, you know, just know if I have to betray you and, you know, give the prosecution the church treasure wallet password, something like that. I don't know. See, that's the thing. They want me to stab you in the back. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, lady, I don't have anything to stab him in the back with. So
what people can do if they want to support Ross is go to freeross.org, and that's where you can sign the petition to hopefully have someone, Biden or whoever comes after Biden, possibly not pardon him, but what do they call it? Commute his sentence.
Commute his sentence, clemency.
I mean, a pardon would be nice, but the odds that would happen, probably next to zero. Sign a petition there at freeross.org, and then if you, I'm sure somewhere on this site is an address on which, or to which you can send him mail. It's not jumping out at me. There it is. You go to the bottom, you click contact, and then there would be some kind of...
What's his federal ID number? Like, that's all you would need, right?
Yeah, well, you got to have the address.
Off the top of my head, let me...
It's there on the site. You can just go to freeross.org and click contact.
18870-W, or -111.
Yep. And he's apparently he's in USP Tucson in Tucson, Arizona,
yes,
right now. And again, guy's a hero. He did some amazing work creating the Silk Road, setting the black market even freer than it ever was before, allowing competition to come into the black market, literally saving people's lives through that
competition. Saved my life, and definitely saved my life and made it a whole lot better. So I'm very thankful to his work, and I hope that Ross is, you know, granted clemency and commuted his sentence to something more reasonable, because the people who actually sold the heroin on the Silk Road were given 10 years.
Mm.
So the guy who didn't do any of the selling, he just ran the website, got double life plus 40.
Yeah, no one else in the case, not only in just the Silk Road case, but in the subsequent cases where they busted other darknet marketplaces, no one else has even come close to receiving a sentence like Ross Ulbricht's sentence. I mean, you want to talk about the constitutional prohibition on punishing more extreme than what the actual crime is. I mean, that's Ross Ulbricht's case, for sure.
And
ridiculous.
With Ross Ulbricht, there was never an affidavit entered into the record where anyone even claims being injured or could prove any injury. There's no injured party with Ross Ulbricht.
I think they trotted somebody out during the sentencing whose kid had died, you know, after taking some heroin or something that they bought on the Silk Road. So they tried to tar Ross with that person's indiscretions. But, you know, that's not a claim against Ross.
I wish we could put all the post-traumatic...
Right.
Well, I wish, you know, we could take all these post-traumatic stress disorder combat veterans and, you know, perhaps, I don't know what the correct molecule is, but I know that if, you know, benzodiazepines aren't working or whatever, and therapy isn't working, and, you know, ecstasy may be a good alternative, which is Molly or MDMA, and I'm glad that they're starting to at least take a second look at these drugs. A lot of these drugs that have been banned are hugely medicinal, in my opinion. You know,
it's the truth.
Appropriate.
Absolutely.
You know, under doctor. Yep.
Whether it's doctor or not, I mean, you shouldn't need a doctor in order to dose yourself on medicine. You shouldn't have to go to some man in a smock or a suit or whatever.
You can abuse yourself with any substance. You could eat too much pizza.
Yeah,
for instance,
that's true.
Yes.
Yeah, because what happened?
Well, Ian, I wish you the best of luck on your sentencing coming up in April.
It's actually been pushed back. It is now going to be June 29th, so it is no longer in April, and this was due to some severe issues, apparently, with the what they call the pre-sentencing report. So this is a document that is cooked up by the probation department, where they look at prior convictions and other factors, and then they come up with a recommended guideline sentence range, which, of course, the judge can divert from that range if he wants to. He can go above it, he can go below it, just based on whatever reasons the judge wants to. But the range that they came up with was 30 to 70 years in prison, and apparently even the prosecution agrees that that was too high. So they have to go back and look at that. So my attorney's got to dig through that and like figure out what they screwed up and try to remedy that. So that's going to take another few more months, apparently.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm praying for you. I'm hoping for a suspended sentence.
Thank you, TJ. I appreciate the time. I appreciate the call. What were you going
to
say, Jay?
I mean, it just goes to show you the cultural war that we're really in, because how woke, you know, are these people that were coming after you? These, you know, is it a George Soros-backed, you know, federal attorney that, you know, I don't know. I haven't looked into it, but
Yeah, I don't know if this is a George Soros thing. I mean, this is just a full-on assault by the federal government against cryptocurrency. Which, we're just like, one aspect of that.
And George Soros, for example, is, you know, claims to be, like, fueling this culture war by backing radical hate, black hate groups, and then, backing prosecutors who are essentially going to go after people who are like stand up conservatives and people who, you know, want freedom and, you know, and with your, getting Bitcoin out to people and getting them out from under the slavery system called fiat dollars, I definitely see how you're a target and they want to make an example of you. And you too, you didn't hurt anybody. You didn't steal anything from anyone. There was no injured. You created no victims. Everything you did was honorable. And, they're just pissed that, you are essentially flipped over to money changers table. As far as I'm concerned, that's all, and all these people,
they're mad,
trying to, push Bitcoin and promote Bitcoin, which is, financial sovereignty is the bottom line. And the slave
system. And
that
is the enemy to the state and to the slave system, as you pointed out. Let's go to the phones here. The Situation is calling from Oregon. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I'm kind of been a regular caller, not very often, but I do call in here in the last 6 months to a year.
Okay, well.
I'm curious, what day is it there? I have you on a serious delay.
It is, what? It's Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. 20, March 20 right. Something.
Yeah, the 23rd. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's what day it is today. Yeah.
And I heard Sarah on the radio.
Okay.
Yes. Called in. It seems like I get you guys a day behind.
You may. I don't know. I can't say for sure when your local radio station is airing, from when their local radio station is airing the show.
Yeah, it's AM 1340 in Oregon.
Okay. What were you calling about, though? Was it just to ask what day it is, or were you actually going to talk about
it? No, I was wondering if there's like a huge delay here, because I've noticed I've been on the radio and I'm a day behind or something.
Okay, well, now you should be able to figure it out. But did you want to talk about something, like an actual issue or something?
About legalized drugs.
Yeah, okay, let's hear it.
I'm pro-marijuana all the way.
All right.
All the way. Pro-marijuana. But listening to you guys, you're pro-legalized all drugs.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah. We should end drug prohibition because, I mean, anybody that's done any sort of brief amount of study on prohibition knows that it actually makes matters worse every time it's tried.
Well, I called in to Sarah, Bonnie, and forget her name, yesterday.
Okay.
And was discussing this, and, seems to me like, you people, mm-hmm. quotes, sorry.
I'm offended.
Think
I'm
that'll solve everything. And it's
no,
like,
it doesn't solve everything, but it will solve a lot of things.
Before you think that works that way, you should come out here and see the garbage, the trash, the people.
Guy, got a question for you, caller.
Well, hold on. I want to know what he means. What garbage? What are you talking about?
I know what he's referring to.
Just the people digging through the dumpsters and pulling everything out. We live on the coast.
Okay.
And these people who are high on drugs.
The drug
camps. I know
camps.
It's not a homeless guy looking for a pair of pants. And they empty the dumpsters out here on the beach, and it blows away in the ocean. And then they go around stealing stuff, and there's the police are handicapped. I live in a very liberal state. I know you guys think cops are bad. And,
what do you mean the police are handicapped?
They can't arrest any of these people and take them to jail.
Arrest them for what?
For
littering.
For stealing?
Littering.
Why not?
Stealing. Because the state of Oregon, and along with Washington State and California, the whole West Coast,
they got a bunch of woke DAs.
They're totally, all the people in charge here are all the state legislatures are woke.
Okay.
All of them.
But is it like in California where I know that they made it so you can't arrest somebody for less than like
$900 shoplifting?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Is that what they're doing there?
Yeah, similar to that, but we've legalized any amount of drugs pretty much. I mean, I have
but
a job.
But that's not a crime. Having drugs isn't a crime, but actually destroying property is. And if the police aren't arresting people for destroying property, then that's definitely a problem with the system there.
So you're okay with a guy with 10 pounds of fentanyl or methamphetamine driving around the street like it's ice cream?
I don't care if somebody has methamphetamine or heroin or whatever. I mean, that's their business.
So you're okay with them driving around in an ice cream truck, there's a siren going off. I mean, that's how it is here.
The reality of legalized drugs would probably just mean that the, you know, Walgreens or CVS would start carrying things that they're currently prohibited from carrying. But if somebody wanted to sell meth out of an ice cream truck, I mean, I don't care. You know,
I mean, look, I typically, you know, I'll look at reviews before I go and buy something at a store. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a reputation to the places that you purchase things. Are you really going to buy drugs off an ice cream truck? Be honest. Like,
I mean,
it's not going to happen.
People will do that.
But people, like, just because it's legal now for drugs, do you think it was going to stop them if it was illegal? No, they're still going to do it.
No, I'm talking about the individual user. I'm talking about it's so emboldened here that people can drive around in vans or their sedan and they get all high. And like yesterday, I was at the grocery store, and I had to get my truck worked on, so I dropped it off, and I said, okay, I'm going to go to the grocery store and walk back. And I start walking down the street, and here's this guy with a baseball bat yelling at people and swinging his bat and yelling at cars. And he was I was like about to intersect with this guy as I'm walking, and he's just out of his mind.
Okay. And well, there were people like that.
So do I shoot the guy?
Okay, so there's, I mean, if you feel like your life is under threat, then yeah, I would think you have a right to defend yourself. But
I think you guys are wrong, because like 30 years ago, nobody's walking around like a lunatic swinging a bat. And you have like 150 people here in a small town on the coast just out of their minds.
Okay, so are you telling me that people weren't doing drugs 3 years ago?
30 years ago, he said.
Yeah, but the drug decriminalization only happened like 2 years ago.
Okay.
So, are you saying they're
Oregon. It's Oregon. They decriminalized drugs before they decriminalized drugs. They stopped arresting people like 10 years ago.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you know this, but arresting people for drugs doesn't stop them from using drugs in the future.
I know that.
Okay.
I'm an addict myself. I understand that.
Got it. Okay, so we understand that that's pointless. However, if you are on the streets threatening people, then that is something that could be arrestable. It also could just result in you getting shot by somebody who feels like they're being threatened. It could result in that person being killed.
Not in a democratic state.
Yeah, where you can't have guns. State.
Well, okay, not my problem then. You know, maybe you shouldn't live there.
Well, I mean, where does it end? Where do you go?
New Hampshire. Go somewhere with gun rights. I mean, you're probably better off in Idaho or something like that.
I understand what you guys are saying with that, but why promote it?
Promote what?
The legalize the drug thing, because...
You don't seem to understand the difference, okay? Drug use is not a violent crime. It is not a crime with a victim. I understand what you're saying is you believe that people who are using drugs may be more likely to victimize, but that is generally only something that happens under prohibition, or it happens more often because usually the victimizations happen when somebody's trying to get the money that they need to buy illegal drugs, which of course are priced much higher than they would otherwise be in a free marketplace. But if we actually had a free market in drugs, which you don't in Oregon, you just have some decriminalization of drugs there, so you don't actually have a free market. But if you did have a free market, would you still have some crazies using drugs? Yeah, you've got crazies using drugs right now, and eventually if a crazy person using drugs they transgress against somebody that's got a gun or, you know, try to break into somebody's house or whatever, they're going to end up dead, and the problem's going to solve itself.
In a basic vision of this, okay, think of it like this. When it was illegal, these people, drug users, were doing it in the dark, like, and they were doing it behind, like, closed doors, and say they OD'd, now they're dead. Now, I'm not saying it's good that they're doing drugs, but at least they can do it more out in the open. It's more, like, understandable. Okay, it's legal. Oh, man, that guy's ODing. We can save him now. He's not hiding in some sort of crawl space doing drugs. Like, I think it's safer because socially it's, like, become acceptable in the sense that, you know, people are more exposed to it. And it can reduce the usage when people see it on the street, like actually out in the open. It'll reduce it because it'll be a public outcry like you are right now. And, like, that's where the change is going to happen, you know. Okay. But just complaining about it's not going to do anything. I think like, if we actually boots on the ground and, like, try to help them.
Yeah, I mean, if you go and you look at Portugal, which is, of course, the big experiment on the planet, and they have had it for like 20 years. They've had Decrim, very similar to Oregon. You can see that the number of addicts has gone down, and that's because they've been able to actually reach out and get the help that they need. So that happens under a system of decriminalization in a way that it just doesn't happen otherwise. I saw a guy, by the way, drugs are still illegal here, mostly in New Hampshire. They've had some decrim for marijuana, but heroin is still illegal. And Bonnie and I were walking through the park one day over by the studio here, and we saw some guy just fall over off of a picnic. So he's sitting on a picnic table, and he just falls over like a rock. And in fact, I think he hit his head on a rock when he fell. Turns out the dude was shooting up some heroin there in the park, OD'd, and we ended up calling, you know, the 911, and the ambulance came. Unfortunately, cops came too, and then, you know, I'm pretty sure they arrested that guy because he had a needle on him, you know, and that's not going to help him. That's not going to make him better.
So there's definitely a few elements of this that haven't been brought up yet. First off is the subsidization of the people that are using the drugs. They're most of them, almost all of them, are receiving some form of disability, Social Security insurance, whether it's some kind of welfare, some kind of, like you just, in California, for example, you can just be like, hey, I'm homeless, and you're getting, like, a $600-$700 check a month. I don't remember the money, but you're getting money. And the other thing, too, is the subsidization of the drugs is being subsidized huge by the government, specifically by the military in the form of heroin, to get to the streets of America, and that's where the politicians want it.
We can talk more about it. If you want to stay the situation, you're welcome to continue this discussion because it is an important issue, and a lot of people are struggling with this in their lives. It's Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there's some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.